There we go.
Let's not become. Amen. Please be seated. Next week will be the last of the series, the last sermon for the series. We're going to wrap it all up, and I've always loved Galatians 5. That's an amazing gift that God gives us, and that is to really understand that we struggle with our flesh. I mean, not one of us here does not struggle with our flesh. We live in a sinful body. We live in a body that's been sort of conformed by the outside, and we do bad things. And what we do many times, we respond in a way that instead of bringing goodness, instead of bringing faithfulness and gentleness and love and kindness into situations, we end up instead bringing hurt, division, all kinds of bad things. And that's what the flesh does. But God says we have something amazingly wonderful in our lives, and God has filled us with His Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with us and in us, and because of that, our lives are dramatically different. And God, as I shared earlier with you, is that Rebecca has shown the fruit of the Spirit. That's how you judge, that's how you determine a mature person. Are they exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit? Or are they continuing to respond to the works of their flesh? They get angry. They have bursts of anger. They cause division. They find themselves controlling. They find themselves wanting their own way. I mean, there's just so many bad things that comes from being led by our flesh. And you can always determine an immature Christian because they continue to rely on the works of their flesh. And God says, He loves us so much, I'm going to mature you. In fact, your whole life is going to be a process of maturing. As we see these children, we know that the parents and this church and everyone else, we're in a process of maturing them so that they can be responsible, mature people when they grow up. And God says, I'm maturing you. Because in that maturity, you're going to find yourself just being totally blessed by the actions you give to yourself as others. So this morning, we're going to talk about goodness and faithfulness, the fruit of the Spirit. And there has been a push. Let me back up a little bit. I think one of our problems with responding to the flesh of the Spirit is that we like to make God in our own image. We tend to reimagine Jesus Christ. We tend to reimagine God. And we do this by basically saying that, well, I make excuses for my sin. I tend to make a Jesus that allows for me to do things that I want to do. So we find ourselves in a relationship where the Jesus that we're looking at is not the true Jesus, but one in which we have reimagined Jesus to be a Jesus that fits our model, that helps us to live our life, helps us to live our philosophy, and we find ourselves, again, doing something that's a disservice to ourselves, but also we are, in many ways, destroying that very image, that very character of Jesus Christ. And in the 80s and 90s, I don't know if you remember this, but there was an attempt to make Jesus into a nice Jesus, a nice Jesus, one who is safe, one who is not confrontational, who is a fuzzy, warm Jesus. He never offends. Matter of fact, he's almost like a Jesus on Prozac. He's always got this, you know, just everything is just right. Everything is moving. Everything is evil, you know, a level keel. And it's just this very, very soft, safe Jesus. I don't remember the 80s and 90s. Matter of fact, it was a part of a lot of theology, a lot of talking back in the 80s and 90s and how we're taking Jesus Christ, we're reimagining him to have a person who basically was almost spineless, but he's always nice. He's always nice. And Jesus was never nice in Scripture. And you're going, what? No, Jesus was good. Jesus was good. And we're going to be focusing on those characteristics of his goodness as well as his loyalty to us. We heard some amazing songs today about how God rescues us, how we should dive deep into a relationship. But guess what? Even when we dive deep into a relationship, things are going to happen, and God is there helping us to stand in the midst of that. And so we're looking at that. As we see the goodness and faithfulness of Jesus Christ, then we're able to have a good understanding of how that we can be faithful and good to others in our life. One of my favorite verses is from 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. The only way that we love deeply, the only way we love unconditionally, because we have discovered and experienced God's love for us. And every time that we're in his presence, every time we're going through life with God, every time we experience his love in so many ways, his mercies every day are new because he has forgiven us time and time and time again. His love is poured out us, and as we experience his love, our love grows so much that we start to love other people the same way, and it continues to grow. In the same way, as we experience and learn about God's goodness and his loyalty and his faithfulness to us, then we find ourselves going, I can be good and faithful to other people because the Holy Spirit is reminding us of that goodness and that faithfulness. And God wants us to be people being led by the Spirit, exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit. As I said before, we struggle with our flesh. We struggle with our sinful nature. We truly want to control our lives. We want to control the timing in our lives. We want to control the plans. We want to live life based on what I want to do. We make plans for that. We pray for that. We find ourselves in situations where we demand that my needs are met. We find ourselves in conflicts and disagreements, and we're making sure that our voice is heard, and I'm going to have my need met. And we do all kinds of things that hurts us and hurts people because our flesh is responding to this issue that I'm going to control. I'm going to have life based on what I want, and we mess up badly, and we destroy people's life. But God says, but I've given you, as I said earlier, the Holy Spirit. God is with us and in us. God is transforming our heart. God is helping us to respond to the Spirit in all the beautiful ways that we're being transformed by that. So, listen to this again. This is great. I love good fruit. I just love good fruit. Right now, I'm having some of these cherries, and I got blueberries, and I know I'm not a vegetable person, but I love good fruit. So, when I hear about these, it just definitely makes something, it does something to my heart. But the fruit of the Spirit is this, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. We heard that from last week with Dave. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So the word goodness is basically making good choices, good moral choices. We find ourselves in situations where things around us is upside down. There's sinful things around us. There's things in such we know that instead of making good choices, we find ourselves making bad choices. We find ourselves in conversation talking bad about a person or a leader behind their back, getting caught up in that conversation. We find ourselves actually in a situation where we're causing division instead of bringing healing and unity. We find ourselves actually hurting people by seeking vengeance. We want to hurt that person. We find ourselves not liking a person, and we want to just make ourselves know that this person's not likable. I will not do anything to like that person. I'm not going to show any type of affection. I'm not going to show any type of kindness because I don't like that person. You know, and it's okay, God. You know, we justify it. Oh, you know, I don't like it, so I'm just not going to be around that person. That's the best thing for me to do. And God says, okay, that's not how the kingdom of God is. So good is about making good choices, and we're going to learn about how Jesus Christ made good choices in the midst of all kinds of things, like injustice. You're going to find how he did that in the face of where his own friends was turning on him, and he did good choices, in the fact that he stood up to the high priests, the religious leaders who was completely sabotaging the grace of our Father in heaven. We're going to find that out. Then we got faithfulness. Pistis is a beautiful word. It means faith. I love the word faith. It's not just belief. It's belief in action. We can believe, but are we willing to put feet to it? Are we willing to climb on top of the ladder knowing that I can get up there, I'm scared to get up there, but with belief, I'm going to get up there because it's going to support me. That is what I believe Kelsey and Jenna is doing. Okay, if you don't mind me saying this, they feel God's call to go into a new situation, a new place, living in a place that's totally foreign to them for the most part. And that is not an easy task to do. That is not an easy, how can I say, adventure to go on. So God is saying, I want you to move. There's fear, there is uncertainty, there's stuff that you don't know, but because of their faith, okay, I believe it, God, you're going to take care of us. Not only am I going to believe it, I'm going to do exactly what you want me to do. I'm going to move there. That takes great faith, to be able to move out of your comfort zone. So we have this, but also faith is, pistis or faith is used in a different way. It means faithfulness, loyalty. It is about that we... Our God is loyal to us and faithful to us when we do terrible things. We're going to find that out. As we continue to be sinful, as we continue to be disobedient to God, God is loyal to us. He never stops being loyal or faithful to us. Because of that, God wants us to use that same type of dynamic as we have relationships with other people. So N.T. Wright says this, but pistis, this word, faith, could also point to the personal commitment that accompanies any genuine belief, in this case that Jesus was now Lord, the world's righteous sovereign, hence the term means loyalty or allegiance. Okay? If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Again, this is heading towards the end of the chapter. He reminds us again of what was going on in that church. Let us not become conceited. Let us not provoke one another and envy one another. Meaning, you have something that I want, and I'm going to get it. So this theme this morning is this: God is always good and always faithful. Is he? God is always good. I was going to start with a different way this sermon this morning. And last night, in the middle, I know this is crazy, it's really happened to me, I'm in bed thinking, there's something not right with this sermon I'm putting together this morning. I was going to start with the fact that in the midst of all the terrible things that have happened in our life, and there are terrible things, and I have all kinds of stories, terrible stories, of Christians been just through what I call is the proverbial If you ever got on a boogie board or on a surfboard and get on one of these big waves, and when you crash, you are in that wave. Has anybody ever been in that wave before? I've been in that wave, and you're in a wash machine, and it's just throwing you everywhere, and you have no idea when you're going to be spit out. It can be so freaky. And there are times in our life where we feel like we're right in that wave, being tossed back and forth, being washed up everywhere, and have no idea when we're going to come out and get some type of breath air. And the beautiful thing, we've always experienced God's goodness, even in the midst of that. I was going to go with that theme. That's a theme next night. But there is a phenomenal goodness that God wants us to learn as we look at the goodness of Jesus Christ. So let's look at that. Nice Jesus. I said before, there's an attempt to make Jesus really nice, but he was a good Jesus. And one of the ways we can see this, you remember the Pharisees, the religious leaders. The religious leaders has taken something so wonderful, so amazing, and that's the grace, the love of God the Father, and they went ahead and put laws to it. They made it legalistic and basically said, if you don't look this way, if you don't smell this way, if you don't taste the way we look, whatever, if you don't do this way, then you're not loved by God. You're not in a relation with God. And Jesus was spitting mad. He confronted the Pharisees and says this, you are of your father the devil. That's not being nice. That is not being nice. That is being good. And your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Your father is the devil. You do these things because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He is telling these religious leaders, he's standing up and he's being good. He's not being nice going, okay, guys, let's go ahead and look at this a little differently. He tells them the truth. He is a good God in the midst of situations where God's words, God's gospel has been compromised, has been sabotaged. Jesus stands up to it. Guess what Jesus wants us to do? Think about that. He wants us to be good. You remember the adulteress? I mean, a mob of people. I mean, their mentality was, this is going to be done. We're going to throw stones at this person. We're going to kill this person. We're going to destroy this person's life. And Jesus not was a nice person going, okay, guys, you know, let's kind of rethink this or whatever it is. He got in the middle of it. He did something that was good. Good. He rescued. He stepped up in the middle of that mob. He did a good thing. Not only did a good thing to make them think about not throwing rocks, but also he turned to the adulterous woman and says, you know, please don't sin anymore. You know Peter the apostle? You know, the good guy, the guy that was supposed to be kind of the, where Jesus turned to Peter and says, you're going to be the rock. You're going to be the, you know, that's sort of that cornerstone for the church. You know that Peter went up to Jesus and rebuked him? He went up to Jesus. He rebuked him. He began to teach that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He is talking. Jesus is talking about the resurrection. He's talking about standing in the face of these leaders. He's talking about all these things, and Peter got uncomfortable. He got uncomfortable. He didn't like that. For some reason, you know, he just, you can't. No, this is not how you do things. And he said this plainly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke our Jesus, Lord and Savior. Was God nice? Was Jesus nice to Peter? Oh, it's okay, Peter. You don't understand. You know, one day that maybe, you know, when you get all right, and let me explain this. No, he turned to him, get behind me, Satan, for you're not setting in your mind the things of God, but the things of man. Jesus did a good thing, because Peter was sabotaging the very work. He's wanting to sabotage the fact that Jesus was not going to be raised from the dead and that he should not be doing it. So we see this. We see this time and time again where Jesus does a good thing. I mean, one of my favorite lines in Aslan, and anybody knows this, the witch line in a wardrobe, is Susan, the girl, asked the beaver, you know, is Is Aslan safe? You remember? And the beaver goes, oh, no. Yeah, he's not safe, but he's good. He is the king, I tell you. So this goodness that we see from Jesus Christ is reminding us how we are to be good in those very tough situations. And we'll talk about that here in a minute. So, and also faithfulness. Faithfulness is where Jesus was loyal and faithful. Our God in heaven, so many times in the Old Testament, he was so loyal. He was so faithful to his children. Time and time and time and time and time again, they would disobey. They would run to idols. They would turn their back on God. And guess what God did? In his loyalty, in his faithfulness, he would always go back to them and rescue them. He never stops giving up on these sinful people. Jesus Christ himself, he was denied. He was betrayed. Have you ever been betrayed before? It is the worst thing to ever happen. Knowing you have a person who you thought was your friend, who thought was your supporter, said all the great things, he's going to be with you, he's never going to say something bad about you, and he betrays you. Has that ever happened to you before? Never? Well, it has happened to me a handful of times. It is a terrible thing. And now Jesus Christ was being betrayed by Peter when he denied them, when he denied him, when Jesus was taken to the council. And the first thing that Peter did, what I love about that, the first thing Peter did, he went and found Peter. The first thing as he rose from the dead, he found Peter and he got with Peter and says, hey, do you love me? He was loyal. He was faithful. We see this time and time again with Jesus and our Father in heaven. So how does this work for me? So God wants us to be always good and faithful. I just want you to have a little insight. I hate bullies. I had bullies in my life, and I hate bullies. I hate the power they have over people. I hate the power they had over me. And what I had to do just to placate a bully. I hate bullies and how they treat people. I hate it with a passion. I hate how they use their power, no matter what the situation, use it to manipulate people, to hurt people, to power them. They get them doing things that is wrong and it's awful. And we sit back, and I hate it when, again, I hate when Christian leaders are bullies. They use God's word, God's name, to manipulate, to bully you into doing something that you shouldn't be doing, using that power. I've seen that happen over and over again. I hate it. And I know that God wants us to stand up to bullies. He wants us to stand up to bullies. He wants us to be good people, to be able to sit back and say, what can I do to stop this person from doing that type of damage, that type of control, that type of manipulation on that person? I believe God wants us to do the good thing and respond. That is being a person being led by the Spirit, doing something good. And one of the things that you heard in Galatians was God was so very clear, as the same way Jesus Christ was very, very clear when he was confronting the priests with their false gospel and their legalism. He says, do not let any leader, let any person destroy and manipulate you to believe in a different gospel of Jesus Christ. Stand up. Say something about it. Say, no, this is not right. It's God's grace. It's God's grace. It's God's grace. And the way that you're talking about God is wrong because there's nothing in Scripture that says this about God. That's a hard thing to do. To be able to stand up and say, what you're saying about my Father in heaven is wrong. And I can't let you talk about my Father in heaven that way. So, just a thought. Being good is being able to stand up and say, that's not right. We know that when a person is drinking, who is under the influence of alcohol or drugs, whatever it is, a good thing for us, well, a nice thing for us, oh, go ahead, take your keys, drive in your car, do whatever you want. A good thing, as you know, this is an example of good, is I will be good and I will stop you from doing that. That takes the strength of the Holy Spirit, because our body doesn't want to do it, our flesh doesn't want to do it, but God says, I want you to be good. Take that step. Allow for my Holy Spirit to give you the strength to do that. When it comes to racism, when it comes to sexual harassment, I know that many times in our life we have witnessed that. We've seen that right before our eyes. We've seen how a person treats a woman in a degrading, in a very second nature way. The way they talk about them. If a person starts saying girl jokes that demeans a woman, you know, a nice person sits back and kind of just giggles and laughs and smiles. But God says, I want you to respond to the Holy Spirit. I want you to respond and do the good thing. Tell that person that it's wrong. The way they talk about an ethnic group, the way they talk about a person who is from a different religion, where they talk about a woman, where they talk about a person, step in. Allow yourself to be good. Let me lead you and do the good thing, not the nice thing. Injustice. There's so much injustice around us. We know this. You know, God, what's my part? I sit back and I look at it, but what can I do? How can you lead me with your Holy Spirit and give me the strength to step in and help somebody or some group of people that injustice is being displayed or being carried out in that person's life? How can I stand up and be good like you, God? So we got that. God wants us to be good, not just nice. That means responding to the Holy Spirit in those moments when you don't feel like it, when your flesh wants to respond differently. God says, trust me, be good, respond to the Spirit. Then loyalty. Every time we sin, God is loyal to us. He is faithful to us. He never stops rescuing us. He never stops loving us. He never stops being a part of our lives. He's always, always entering in. And I want you to know that there will be people and have been people that have sinned against you, that have done hurtful things, have lied to you, have manipulated you, have done something that's wrong. And it's so easy to give up on that person. So easy to turn our back on that person. But God wants us to be loyal, just as God is loyal to us when we screw it up. I think one of the best places that happens, well, I mean, how many parents, how many times have your children disobeyed? How many times have your children just been just not good? But God calls you. You continue to be loyal to that child. You continue to love that child. You continue to bring parameters in that child's life. Be good to your children, no matter how they treat you and how sinful they can get. Parents, I want you to continue to be faithful to them. Love them. You don't have to excuse their behavior, but love them. So we have that part. We have marriages the same way. How many times have I messed up with Cynthia? How many times? And she's messed up with me. And we do that, but we're loyal. That's what loyal, that's what faithfulness. We're committed to that. We're committed to that relation. We're committed to make those things right. So God is loyal to us in our sinfulness. And when we struggle, when people sinning against us, God says, instead of running away, instead of slandering that person, instead of talking bad about that person, instead of dividing from that person, I want you to be loyal to that person, because I am loyal to you. Well, again, that's the end of the fruit of the Spirit. Next week, we're just going to talk about walking, just walking, what it means to walk. And we're going to wrap up the series. And then next month, we're going to be looking at another series of sermon, and I have a series of sermons in Thanksgiving and November about thanking God. But I hope you understand that God is good to us. He's always good to us. And God is always loyal to us. Oh my goodness. He is so faithful to us. He could have easily said, I don't want nothing to do with you anymore. You've repeated that sin over and over and over and over again. I'm done with you. I'm going to cut you out. Goodbye. God never does that to us. He is faithful. He is faithful. He is loyal. He says, I want you to use that same type of faithfulness and loyalty to those relationships around you. That is being a mature Christian. That is a person who is living out the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I thank you so much for your love, your concern. Hold back. God, I just thank you so much for bringing us here. I thank you for the beautiful gift of celebrating with Rebecca, celebrating with Jenna and Kelsey's new adventure, reminding us of our loyalty to them, of our willingness to stay with them and continue with them. I thank you for the way that you have brought us your word in so many different ways, that we heard you this morning, that you have embedded in our hearts the word that's going to transform us. And I thank you for that. We pray all this in your son's name. Amen.